The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're going inside Hollywood and we're looking at the experience of directors, many of them very big names themselves, but working with the biggest stars and what that is like to deliver the product which is often Oscar winning. I'm joined by Lisa Cannon, who is TV host and head of studio at DMG Media. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. It's nice to be back. Good to
see you.
New title, new job. Only 2-3 days into the job, so it's very exciting.
Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk about Rob Reiner and Jack Nicholson.
Oh, listen, this is a great one because this actually flashed up on my Instagram there a couple of days ago and I thought, right, we have to do this in Inside Hollywood because Rob Reiner is a phenomenal director and he's kind of more at the gentle fare. You would have watched movies like Stand By Me, you know, When Harry Met Sally, but he took a totally different approach with Jack Nicholson, of course, the classic movie A Few Good Men. And you remember that courtroom clash where Jack Nicholson iconically all those lines, you know, you can't handle the truth. And it's so interesting to hear how Rob Reiner expresses Jack Nicholson's, I suppose, his technique. And it's really interesting. We have a great clip and it kind of explains how the showdown happened and how Jack Nicholson didn't just unleash, he went for it.
Okay.
Casting Jack Nicholson in that role.
Yes, you can't handle the truth.
Right. Yeah, right. What was that like from your perspective?
Well, it was interesting because big courtroom and, you know, Jack has this long, long monologue. And I said to him, I'll give you a choice. Either I can shoot, if you want to shoot ready now, I'll shoot you right now. If you want some time to work on it, rehearse it, I will shoot all the reaction shots first. He said, why don't you, you know, shoot the reaction shots and that will give me a, and every time he's off camera, he gives exactly the same performance that you see that's on camera. After two or three, I go up to him and I said, Jack, you know, maybe you want to save a little because, I mean, he's full out in every one and he's off camera. And he says, Rob, you don't understand. I love to act. He says, I don't get that much of a chance to do a great part. And then we turned the camera around on him and it was the same.
The same.
You know, that control, that measured, but he was terrifying. Can you imagine the build-up to getting to Colonel Jessup and, you know, the expression in his face? When you watch it, you can see that Tom Cruise is terrified because he unleashes that wrath as he goes. But, I mean, how many times he must have done it? 4 or 5 times.
And enjoyed it every time, which
is... Oh, listen, that's great. But he's probably right. He doesn't get to do those kind of performances.
Now, two other big names, Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro.
Yeah, now this is a great one because obviously Scorsese and De Niro have worked together for years across many different pictures like Raging Bull, Taxi Driver and of course The Irishman. But they actually grew up together in the Bronx in New York and they knew each other when they were 16, 17. So I have a great clip here which just kind of speaks on the profound bond he shares with De Niro, but particularly about Taxi Driver and why that in its essence is, you know, the movie that made them really. But it's about the creative trust built over decades between them. And Scorsese not only being probably my favourite filmmaker of all time, it's the collaborations that he does. You know, he also has...
And trusting him to improvise.
Trusting him to improvise. And we do a lot of work here on Inside Hollywood about improvisation. But not only is the iconic director and the actor duos, I think they're top of my list when it comes to partnerships. Have a listen to Scorsese talking about his bromance with Robert De Niro.
Taxi Driver was so strongly scripted that it allowed us to open up 2 or 3 scenes. Primarily, the most exciting, call improvisation, was Robert De Niro in front of the mirror. And that was in the last week of shooting, and that's when we were overscheduled. And I knew that it's written in the script that he's practicing with these guns and this sort of thing, and devices in front of the mirror. He's acting out this fantasy, but I want him to say something. We found ourselves sneaking the scene into the schedule. What you see on screen is really him revving up and finding that moment, finding that character fully. But that really took, I'd say, about 8 weeks of shooting before getting to that. And we shot it within 2 hours.
My goodness, all that prep and eventually...
Well, that's it. And people, because we studied this in film school, you know, in Trinity, and they were saying, you know, that this was only a 2-hour thing, but it's become one of the most iconic lines in film history. And, you know, improvisation, it's digging deep into kind of the disturbed psyche of Travis Bickle. And nobody did it better, you know, than, of course, Robert De Niro. Mm. But I think what's lovely about this segment today, it's about directors allowing actors have the space to explore, but also their partnership and trusting them to do that, you know.
Now, the next clip is Greta Gerwig on working with Meryl Streep. And it's not that... I suppose Meryl is employed by Greta, but rather Greta is employed by
Meryl. And listen, I've interviewed Meryl Streep and I was shell-shocked when I interviewed her. Because, you know, in some way, when you get to meet your heroes, you can't believe they're actually standing there in front of you. And she was so nice and she was so, you know, revered and gentle. And I would imagine that's the same for Greta Gerwig. She's a young director, you know, and I would imagine kind of stepping into that quieter, more refined world of directing Little Women and, you know, having Meryl Streep at the helm. Make no mistake, though, even in these course of dramas, you know, I would imagine rage flies. But have a listen to what Greta said about how Meryl, well, I suppose this explains it all. Meryl does her own thing and you just follow.
Well, Meryl actually told me she was going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
that's the best thing she could ever tell you. She said, the book had meant a lot to her and she wanted to be part of it. But then she talked to me, we had a lunch and she talked to me about so many things having to do with the book, and she's so smart, not just about acting, but just about storytelling, about what are the things you need to tell a story. And this, she gave me this entire speech about, like, you have to make the audience understand that women at that time, it's not just that they couldn't vote, it's not just that they couldn't own property, it's that they had nothing. If they left a marriage, they wouldn't even leave with their children.
Yeah.
They didn't have
terrible.
Anything. So, anyway, so then
this
I basically...
In New England.
And so
right here.
So I took that entire speech and just basically gave it to another character. Mm-hmm. But that's the amazing thing about, like, working with great actors is they only help you. They help you understand what you're trying to do even more.
Yeah.
And
well,
so she really laser-beamed in.
It's interesting that Little Women and harking back to the lot of women in that era. I mean, Meryl Streep is still very active on the lot of women. We played a clip from her recently about Afghanistan and the women in Afghanistan and how few rights they have today.
Oh, absolutely.
In the 21st century.
Yeah. She kind of, as Greta there said, as a director and as a younger director, she said, she's not Meryl Streep for nothing because she gets, to work, gives her a better directing kind of gravitas. But yes, she gives historical notes to all her crew, including her own actors as well, people she co-stars with. So watch out next time you're co-starring with Meryl Streep.
Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks.
Yeah, now fewer partnerships in the world of cinema are as powerful as Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. I mean, everybody, of course, knows their work on Saving Private Ryan, so emotionally gripping the drama itself. But it wasn't just the acting that was the method, because Steven Spielberg, people maybe don't know this, but as an innovator, he makes the radical choice of skipping rehearsals. He doesn't allow his actors rehearse, which is very unique compared to other directors who always do that. Tarantino would make sure it's actually completely blocked before he will do it.
Therefore, would he shoot everything and hope that in there somewhere in the 20 takes, there's a great one?
Absolutely. Because I think what he felt, and this is the little segment I kind of, got for you guys today, that he feels that sometimes when he did rehearse before, he lost the moment. And sometimes that can be the case when you're doing radio or you're filming. You know, it's nicer to do it live, isn't it? Because you get the essence of it. The nuances are there. Whereas if it's already blocked, it can be too staged.
And you know you can do it again.
Whereas if it's live, anything goes, really,
So what have you got?
Here we have, this is a great clip just of, Meryl starting actually kind of being surprised that she needed to be off book and ready for Steven Spielberg. And then Spielberg expressing how, it's important that we just don't rehearse and let the scene do the talking. Here you go.
Learned to come to the set with all my lines completely hardwired in. No fooling around. No, you're not going to mush around. There's not going to be any rehearsal.
No rehearsal. Well, I knew how the boss worked, so.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know there was no rehearsal, so.
That's a Spielberg thing.
Yeah, I don't rehearse. When I was younger, I used to rehearse, and some of the greatest scenes I ever saw were played out in front of me with no camera to capture it for anybody else. And then we got to the set. Sometimes I couldn't recapture the magic of having an actor with another actor play a scene for the first time. It should happen in front of a camera, not in a rehearsal hall, for me.
It's amazing the different techniques directors have to get that performance.
Absolutely. And you wouldn't think with Spielberg, but he allowed Tom Hanks in those scenes to just have the pure emotion, raw, unrehearsed, no blocking, no safety nets. And as we can see, the Oscar-winning Save a Private Ryan was sublime.
But interesting, one of the notes you sent me about this was Tom Hanks arrived a week after the rest of the cast. Mm-hmm. So that when he arrived, he automatically had this... deference from them. He came in as the officer. I am the guy.
Yeah.
And even though they're only crew, they're all making a movie and he's not an officer, he's an actor. but it created that deference that would be reflected in the scenes.
Well, that's why Spielberg is the boldest directorial choice when it comes to making epic dramas. You know, we love him. He's our storyteller, and he's probably one of the best in the world. So I think those kind of harrowing, visceral experiences that you see in Saving Private Ryan are down to the fact there is no rehearsal and it just happens momentarily. Brilliant.
Lisa Cannon, new title, TV host and head of studio at DMG Media. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, still to-
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.